This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labour. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Whakaronga ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And te rongapai tapu ki te ritinga a Mark, te tikau upuko, ka timata whā tikau ma onu. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning at the 46th verse.
Praise
and
glory to God.
Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Te rongapai tēnā a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Thanks, Sue. Fantastic. Well, kia ora, everybody. Can you hear me all right? Are you?
Yes.
Yep. How are you going? All right. Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. little bit wobbly, but, you know. Yes, that flu thing's so freaking nasty, isn't it? Yeah. Nasty bug. That was the word freaking, sorry. It is, though. And I don't know how many people have had it. And yeah. And it knocks you out for ages, eh? But here I am, and here we are. So it's good. This passage, there's so much to say. So we'll, you know, settle in for the next 45 minutes or so as we go through it. I would love to, but we can't. So I'll just say a couple of things, two things actually. One is the word way, all right, or road, or path, or street, or, you know, ara in Māori, and it's hodos in Greek. And it means just pathway, and the whole of Mark's gospel is about the way of Christ. And it opens, the very beginning of the gospel of Mark opens with these words, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it's written in Isaiah, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord. And so, and then Mark's gospel unpacks the way of the Lord. What is the way of the Lord? What is the way of Jesus? How does Jesus walk in this earth? What is he, what's his life like? What kind of life does Jesus lead and show us is a good way to live, the way to live, the most human way to live? and the most godly way to live. And so you don't really hear much about the way then for the first chunk of Mark's gospel. And then in the middle, Mark starts using the word, or Jesus starts using the word way, heaps and heaps and heaps. And then you don't really hear it again until the end. So it's at the beginning and the end. And then the middle is where Jesus speaks about the way of the Lord. And it begins like two chapters before our chapter. And it begins with Peter's confession of Jesus. Jesus heals a blind man. You know, we've got a blind man being healed in our bit, right? Our bit's right at the end of this thing about the way. And at the beginning, there's a blind man being healed. Blind man being healed at the beginning and the end of the bit about the way. And the beginning, this blind man gets healed. But do you remember that odd healing where Jesus spits on, you know, and kind of puts his hands on the guy's eyes and he says, I can see people and they're walking around and they look like trees walking. Because we've all seen trees walking, right? Because we watch Rings of Power and Lord of the Rings, don't we? Yeah. But they look like trees walking. And so Jesus prays for him again. And then he gets his sight. It takes a while. It's a slow healing. And then at the end, this healing is like, boom, straight away. And there's this slow opening of the eyes of the disciples through this middle passage where Jesus keeps talking about the way. And it's like Mark's bookended it with these two healings, or Jesus has bookended it with these two healings. One where it just takes a while for the penny to drop, as it were, and then they've got it at the end. And that's what happens. Peter, at the beginning of this little bit, and by the way, Peter says his confession of, you know, Jesus is like, who do people say I am? Who do you say I am? And then Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Messiah. And Jesus is like, yes. But then Peter fluffs it because he goes, you know, because then Jesus goes, yes. And he starts to teach them for the first time what it really means to be the Messiah. And he says, immediately he says, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die at the hands, you know, I'm going to be persecuted and people will speak badly of me. You know, I'm going to suffer these things at the hands of men, the hands of people, and I'm going to die, and then I'll rise again. And Peter, straight away, and it sounds like, you know, the disciples are over there and Jesus and Peter are here. And Peter goes, no way, Lord, that's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to have to suffer. And Jesus, it looks like he's going to say something to Peter privately. And then he turns around and seeing the disciples, he says to Peter, it's like, oh, I need to say something here. They can't get the wrong message about this. This is so important, the way of the Lord. And so he rebukes Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. It's quite strong words. But he's not obviously saying to Peter, you're Satan. But it's the words, because then he goes on immediately to say, get behind me, Satan, because the things that you're speaking of are not the things of God, but the things of people, of humanity, of, you know, the way that people look at things, not the way that God looks at things. And of course, the way we look at things as people is we want to avoid those sorts of things. And Jesus is very aware of that, being fully a person, being fully human. He wants to, and even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wants to avoid that suffering if he can. It's normal. It's natural. Of course, if you've got the choice, you don't want to go into suffering, do you? Most of us. So we want to avoid it. And Peter's like saying, and Jesus is like, that's not the right way. Escaping from it. I came, as he says, right at the end of the passage, immediately before our healing of the blind man, he says, not even I came to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. It's not about me, me, me. It's not about selfishness. It's not about what I can get and other people can suffer, but I'm not going to. It's about giving my life. And it's about entering into the real humanity in order to see others blessed, loved, saved, come into the kingdom of God. So, he says that, that actually, no, I am going to, and then he goes, he sets his face towards Jerusalem, and he's on the way. And the word way is used over these chapters in the middle of Mark's gospel so many times. It's where the word way is used, basically, in the gospel. And he's on his way to Jerusalem to die and rise again. And on the way, it says, it keeps saying, on the way, he spoke to them. And again, he says, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die. And they're like, kind of don't get this. And in the middle of it, they're kind of like, hang on a minute, I want to be the greatest, you know. And they, like we had last week when Andrew was speaking, you know, I'll sit at your left and my brother can sit at your right and we'll rule in your kingdom because we want to be the greatest. We want to rule, you know. And Jesus is like, guys, no. And he's really trying to, before he dies, to get across to them the way of the Lord, which is the way of giving, the way of suffering if necessary. Not that we're not choosing deliberately to suffer. What we're doing is we're choosing to be with people in real life and to give ourselves for them. And that's going to often involve a bit of pain, isn't it? You know, all love involves pain and it involves risk. All love. It involves at the very least the risk of heartache, doesn't it? And if you really love someone, there's those painful moments where you see them making a choice that you know is going to be bad for them. And you really long for them not to make that choice because it's going to hurt them or damage them. It's going to bring suffering into their life and you don't want it. And what can you do? We suffer for our loved ones. We suffer in our hearts as we watch. Maybe we try and have a conversation about it. And then that brings pain into the relationship, because how do you have that kind of conversation and tell someone, please don't do that or whatever? You know, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So love in this world actually always suffers. Of course it does. And the more we love, the more we're going to feel that. That agony that Jesus feels when he looks at the world and loves it. And he's like that. He's like, oh my gosh, you guys, please, no, don't do, oh my gosh, you know. The love of God is so deep that, of course, it involves suffering, and Jesus knew it would. Sorry, does that make sense? But I don't want to labor it because, you know, otherwise we go, doom and gloom. Because at the end of it, there is resurrection. And that's why I think Paul says, or it's one of the reasons why Paul perhaps says, you know, if Christ is not raised from the dead, we are the most miserable of people. We are the, you know, most hopeless. And because if there's no resurrection and we're just like pouring out our hearts in love and grief and, you know, sighing and thinking of all the suffering in the world and lifting it up to God and praying and, you know, and there's no hope at the end of it, no resurrection, then of course we are the most pitied to be of people, as Paul says. But we're not, because Jesus is raised from the dead, because there is life at the end of it all. Because of the way of the Lord, yeah, it involves the kind of love that suffers for the world. And suffers because we really actually do love people. We really love them. And so we hurt when they hurt. Just like God does. At the end of the road is resurrection. And that is why we can go through it. That's why we can do it. And it's more than that. blah, 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 blah. So that's the way of the Lord. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples all the way through. Actually, it's going to involve suffering. You know, it's not all about sitting and ruling and glory and all that. Yes, there is that, but it's the kind of ruling that is from the bottom up rather than from the top down, rather than forcing people. It's the kind that loves and that suffers with, that really loves, that lays down its life and that finds life and that brings life, resurrection life, into everyone's lives around us and our own lives as we go through the suffering of this world. I think we try and avoid it, don't we? We try and avoid it as people. We try and avoid it in as a society. You know, we've figured out all sorts of ways to entertain ourselves so we don't have to think about the hard bits of life. But it's still there. And we do it as Christians. In our churches, we try and go, oh, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. And then we find out as we live our lives, it's not all good. And then I just spoke to a friend yesterday who is in Auckland, and she has been through some horrendous stuff with her kids, like just not good. Brought up as a Christian to believe that if you believe in Jesus, everything will be all right, which is just not in the Bible. If you believe in Jesus, you know, you're just going to have a sweet life and it'll all be good. Everything will be all right in the end. But there's going to be some tough bits along the way. And how do we live with them? But she was never taught that. And she was never taught how to live it. And so now she's doubting her own faith and her own Christianity because she's been taught all this stuff and not allowed to question it. No, I have to believe that there's always victory in Jesus, you know, and she's lived a life in which there's been horrendous things happen to her and her kids. And now she's like, well, maybe it was not true. And I'm like, yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't true. You weren't told the way of the Lord, which is going to involve probably some suffering, but which has resurrection at the end of it. Okay, that's not what I was going to say this morning. We've got a couple of minutes. What I love is, so this, that's what Jesus has been, it is what I was going to say a bit. Jesus has been saying all these things. This is the way of the Lord. This is my way. You know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross. There is going to be some giving of your life involved here. You know, and that may involve some pain. That may involve some suffering. It certainly is going to for me, he says. But there's life at the end of it. And there's life all the way through. And then to kind of almost prove the point, as it were, at the, he's bookended the way of the Lord bit with these two healings. And the final healing is blind Bartimaeus, as he's often called in our little headings in our Bibles. Blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. He's this chap, and he's sitting there on the street, on the road, on the way. And Jesus and his, you know, huge gang of people and disciples and like all the people in the village and hangers-on and everything are all going past. It's just this like, you know, like, I don't know, crowd going past, pouring out of like the rugby stadium or whatever it is. So many people, and he's blind, so he doesn't know which one's Jesus. Like, he can hear all this, you know, and he can hear kind of, and there's so much noise, and all he can do is sit there, not being able to see, not knowing when Jesus is going to appear, or if he's missed him, or if he's still coming, or how long he's going to be, that as this throng kind of weave their way past, it could be half an hour, could be an hour, who knows? And so he's just crying out. How many times do you think he cried out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? Jesus, Son of David, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How many times do you reckon? Absolutely hundreds, probably. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people near him are going, good grief, that bloke's freaking annoying. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's still coming. He's like, I don't know, I can't see him. There's so many people, but I don't know. He's not here, so just be quiet until he gets here. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh my gosh, that guy. So annoying. And they do, they tell him to shut up, but he doesn't. He just carries on. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's just going on and on and on because he doesn't want to miss the moment when Jesus goes past. And he doesn't know when that moment's going to be. He's got no idea if he's one prayer away from it or 50 prayers away from it. He just doesn't know. And so he just keeps going. Reminds you of that parable Jesus says, doesn't it? You know, where he says, keep praying, persevere, you know, keep knocking. This guy does that. He's just yelling out. And eventually Jesus does go past. And it sounds almost like, from the way it's written, that perhaps he actually goes on a bit, you know, goes past, hears this guy, and they're telling him to be quiet. Like, he's actually here now, so really be quiet. You know, so much noise. Anyway, and Jesus stops and says, he can hear him yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. You know, he doesn't even know that Jesus has stopped. And Jesus is standing there. Well, he's still yelling in his blindness. He's like crying out to the one person that he knows, that he absolutely believes can help him. And Jesus says, bring him to me. And so they go, okay, go on, get up. He's calling for you. You know, and he kind of drops his cloak or whatever, comes up. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, Master, Teacher, I want to see. And Jesus says, okay, go. Your faith has made you well. And he sees just like that. And do you know what it says about him? He followed him on the road. That's what the blind man did straight away. And he's on the road, the way of Jesus. This way that Jesus has been talking about all the way through these passages, the way of the Lord. This is a man, a blind man, who knows suffering all his life. He's suffered and he's just had to beg for things. He's not been able to see, you know. And then he's been suffering as he cries out to Jesus, oh my gosh, I really need him to hear me. I have no idea where he is. I can't see him. Perhaps he'll hear me. And I'm crying out and I'm crying out. And you can imagine the pain he's feeling as he's crying out, just hoping that Jesus might hear him. I could be one cry away from it. I could be 20, 50 cries away. Maybe I missed him. I mean, the agony in that guy. This is my chance. He's crying out. And then he gets that. He meets Jesus. He stands before Jesus. Jesus heals him. And straight away, this man who knows suffering from the inside out walks with Jesus on the way. He's like, this Jesus gets this. This is a guy who understands my life, who understands my road that I've been walking on of suffering. And actually, he's got a better road. Yeah, it doesn't stop with suffering. It doesn't end at the cross. It goes through that to resurrection. There's life. There's light. My eyes have been opened. I've been in the darkness all that time. But there's life at the end of it. There's light. And that's the way of Jesus. Does that sound good? It sounds good because it's true. And if it wasn't, there'd be no point in being here. We should just pack up and go home. But it's true. Now, the last thing I wanted to say was about that standing before Jesus. The blind man stands before Jesus. He's crying out, Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Blah, 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 blah. And eventually, boom, there he is in front of Jesus. And he's standing before Jesus. His eyes are opened. He can see him. He can see Jesus. The first thing he sees. And he walks with him on the way from then on. That crying out and that standing before the Lord, I think, is just key. There's a prayer based on this prayer that's been prayed since way, you know, the earliest records are in the 300s or something, and it probably goes back further than that, which is basically this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It's based on this and on the prayer that Jesus says. Do you remember when Jesus, in that parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee? And the Pharisee is like, I'm so good and I give away all this money. Blah, blah. You know, and then there's this guy, and it says the Greek, it says, he just was continually beating his breast. I don't want to hit the microphone. But anyway. Continually, just like the blind Bartimaeus, he's just going on and on, over and over, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he's beating his breast, saying that. And Jesus, this is Jesus' parable. Jesus says, that guy goes away, justified. Not the guy in the temple doing all the right things, but his heart wasn't in the right place, whereas this guy's heart was. And so, just simply to say, this is one way that Christians have found down the ages of praying and of standing before the Lord. Some call it the prayer of the heart, some call it the Jesus prayer, and it's based on these two prayers, one that Jesus says and one that Jesus hears, and they are this, it's just simple words. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And the whole point is simply to stand before the Lord, like the blind man does, to stand before the Lord. And as St. Theophan the Recluse, as he was called in the 19th century, said, Ian's just summing up the words of hundreds and hundreds of men and women before him, talking about prayer. He said, the key to prayer or whatever is just to stand before the Lord with your mind in your heart, with your concentration in the heart of who you are, to stand before the Lord and to go on standing before him day and night to the end of days. To go on standing before. That's the heart of prayer. I love that. I think that's a great way of expressing it. He talks about the mind and the heart, and that just simply means we're trying to, you know how our thoughts go everywhere? Do your thoughts go everywhere? Have you ever tried to do that kind of peaceful prayer, you know, where you sit before the Lord and just love him and let him love you, you know, and you hear about it sometimes, you read about it in a book, and before you know it, you're thinking about your shopping, or you're thinking about, a walk down the beach would be nice, actually. Oh, I need to do that bit of gardening, or whatever it is, you know? And you're like, oh my goodness, my mind. And so a way of just pulling our attention back to Christ again and again is to say a very short, very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Just keep saying it like this blind man or like the Republican, the tax collector that Jesus talks about. You know, have mercy on me. And to keep repeating the name of Jesus, which is the name above all names, at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So we say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And then I'm thinking about the shopping so quick. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I walk down the... Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And it just helps me. And it's a prayer I use. And I'm very, very much a beginner at it. I'm really rubbish at it. But it still helps me, even though I'm a total beginner. And some people are really, really good at using this prayer. It's a being with the Lord prayer. You could use it walking down the beach, actually. You can use it anywhere, anytime. You don't have to use those words. You can use any words. You don't have to use words at all to be with the Lord. It just helps to concentrate, you know, helps me anyway, to keep going, Lord Jesus. Oh yeah, that's what this is, that's what I'm doing here. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know? Someone once told me, I was in Egypt once when I was training for ministry. We had a exchange thing. Went to the oldest monastery in the world, actually, it was, in the Egyptian desert. And there was a monk there in the bookshop just as we were leaving. And I thought, I plucked up the courage and, you know, I thought, I really want to know, what is the prayer that I should be praying? How do I pray? And I went up to him and I said, you know, what should I do? You know, if I pray, what words should I use? And he just said, whatever helps. And I was like, that's not fair. Rowan Williams talked about prayer as sunbathing in the love of God. Isn't that a wonderful way to talk about prayer? Sunbathing in the love of God. And he had used that prayer to just keep himself in that place of sunbathing. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ. And mercy is a word that means grace, it means love, it means pouring out, you know, all your goodness, your healing, your peace, your truth, your love. And it's a prayer that's not just, and I'll finish with this, it's a prayer that's not just for us. It's not just an individualistic me and God prayer, me and Jesus prayer. Because whenever we pray, and we're not so good at remembering this in the West, but we're not isolated individuals. None of us are. We're sort of brought up in a culture that tells us we are, but underneath it, we know we're not. We are brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters with the whole of humanity. And so if one of us is crying out to Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. I want to be with you, Lord. We're actually doing it for everyone and with on behalf of everyone. You know, as I pray that prayer, I'm asking Christ, our Lord, the lover of our souls, to have mercy on all of us, actually, to be with all of us. And if one of us sitting somewhere in the pews really is with the Lord, it's a blessing to all of us, isn't it? You know, have you ever rubbed up against someone who is somehow, you just feel like this person is really carrying the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, and you want to be around that person to kind of let it rub off on you, you know? Well, that's what I think prayer is all about. At its roots and at its heart, it's standing before the Lord and just keep crying out to him, keep being with him. And our eyes will be opened. We may be just one prayer away from it. Our eyes will be opened. We will see the Lord. So keep persevering, as Jesus says. Keep coming before him. He will meet us. Maybe 50 prayers away. Maybe 100. Maybe 3. I don't know. Let's keep pushing in and praying. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, we thank you that you are good, that you are gracious, that your way is a way, yes, of love that means suffering, but also of love that means resurrection, means life, it means opening of the eyes. And we pray in your mercy, by your grace, you would open the eyes of our hearts that we could see you more clearly, know you better, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly every day, Jesus, on your road, on your path, in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. Shall we stand? There was lots in there, but there was just a simple bit, Mark, that really spoke to me, the bit about don't miss this moment. So rather than just charge on into the next song, let's not miss this moment. Let's stay in it for a moment. Breathe deep. Breathing in. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Breathing out. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Breathing in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathing out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ,